there's a very special reason why we're here today. And yesterday, James had an attempt on his life by the Freemason scum that he exposes so well. James, if you would please elucidate and let the audience know a bit of a blow-by-blow of that particular account.
Okay, yeah, I'm. You'll have to forgive me. I'm still a little scatterbrained at the moment. I'm trying to rapidly pack to catch a plane later, and there's like a thousand things happening and dealing with the mangled remains of a wrecked car and all that. It's a nightmare. So anyway, what happened yesterday was I had appointments in L.A. I'd been down. I moved to L.A. in February, but the last month I've been down staying with friends because of the threats and things that had happened, and it kind of freaked me out. My apartment got broken into, and the MO looked like somebody was looking for something, perhaps. I'm just speculating the sort of evidence I have, but of course I never kept it, you know, in my living space, so I guess they didn't find what they were looking for. But anyway, I had to go. There was no way around it. I had stuff to do. And I went up, did it, and I was leaving and driving back. And, you know, it's about an hour and a half drive there if in good traffic between Los Angeles and San Diego. So I was driving back, and there was this car that had been kind of trailing me and everything. So I was aware of that. I'd tried calling a friend in the OC to pull off the freeway for a little while and just, you know, say hey and wait for whatever that was to pass or something, but I couldn't get a hold of him, so I just decided to keep driving. And I was right north of San Diego on the 5 freeway, and this van pulled up, the window went down, and I'm pretty sure I saw a weapon of some kind. And then everything happened very fast. What happened that I've been going over this again and again all night. I didn't sleep very well. It's all a mess. But
I didn't sleep very well. I didn't sleep very well either.
No. Yeah, I'll tell you what, when you do this kind of stuff, people don't realize, but that's beside the point. So first what happened was the steering wheel turned to the right. Like a lot. I mean, as much as you would turn it, making a right-hand turn. And yet, I'm cruising forward smoothly and nicely at 65 miles an hour, and the car is not deviating, and yet the steering wheel is turning itself all the way to the right. And I'm thinking, what? I mean, I'm starting to freak out, you know, and like grab it, and like, what do I do? I'm not even moving, and yet the wheel's turning, you know, you don't know what to do. And then there was this explosion, and there was a very, very intense, violent jolt that I've never even felt anything that hardcore in a car before. It was just violent. And, I mean, it looked like the car was about to come apart. And there was smoke and debris and pieces of car and everything that went up into the air behind me that I could see in the rearview mirror. And all the engine started making like the sound of it racing, and you could tell that like all of the systems, the power steering and the braking and everything was all kicking in overtime, really under strain. And so I was able to just come to a stop on the side of the freeway right there, like in the brush. And it was, I'm not sure what exactly went on underneath the car yet. I haven't had time to get it somewhere and get it up on a rack yet. But what I know so far is that the wheel well was completely mangled. The tires gone. We did not even... We found little bits of pieces and tire on the road, but it was basically all gone, and a fractured rim and all this. And whatever it was so powerful that there's like black scorching from flames coming from underneath the car in the back under the trunk. And it's a white car, so it's very easy to see that. and the trim all down the passenger side was blown completely off. I mean, it's even my front bumper was like split in half underneath. I saw that this morning, and I'm like, what happened under there to cause that much destruction? It's just, I don't know. I don't have all the answers right now. This is still in the heat of the moment, really.
The violence of your steering wheel jerk might suggest an answer. There was a person in New Zealand in 1996, I believe, who had stumbled across an enormous quantity of banking records that basically showed that this entire country is very corrupt, in a nutshell. And when he was killed, he was going over an overpass, and reports indicated that his car had turned a good 90 degrees while he's going 100 kilometers an hour. So his car flipped. And it turns out that state intelligence services in New Zealand use a retractable arm sort of thing on vehicles in order to cause accidents like this that will pull the steering wheel hard over while you're traveling at high speed. And the likelihood of you surviving a crash like that, not too high.
Well, that was the thing, is the car it's such a good car, I guess. It really speaks well for the car itself that when this all happened, I mean, it didn't, however, it didn't lose control. It kicked in, it was really struggling, and it maintained a straightforward path down the freeway. And, you know, I was able to pull the wheel and slam the brake and come to a stop on the side without hitting anything. So, I mean, that was fortunate because, I mean, obviously, whatever it was going on, whatever the specifics are, it was clear that they were trying to, you know, engineer a car crash. So,
you'd been suspicious that they might try and get rid of you in this way. And I've been told that in the past, this has happened to other Freemasonic whistleblowers as well. Freighter, I'm not sure if you know the story of this. What happened to the last person who exposed somebody really big like that in the Freemasons? It was like well over 100 years ago or something, wasn't it?
Oh, you're referring to the William Morgan affair? Is that correct?
I can't remember specifically, but I would probably say that is the case.
Morgan or Joseph Smith, either one.
Yeah, right. That's true. I mean, with Joseph Smith, I think it's pretty clear he incorporated the Freemasonic ritual into his Temple Mormonism, which, you know, that was a threat in and of itself in exposing the state, because he had no compunction about initiating women as well, you know. And but with William Morgan, and frankly, it's kind of interesting synchronized connection between the two of them, is that when Morgan disappeared, Joseph Smith married his widow. So that's pretty strange in and of itself. But I think that what we know with when we're dealing, see, at the time of William Morgan's disappearance, you also had the same Scotch Mason Germanic continental tradition of masonry that was in that area, the burned over district, which is like the Hudson Valley River area of Batavia, Rochester, you know, and all those towns around there, Palmyra, where Joseph Smith supposedly found the golden plates where William Morgan disappeared. And, you know, people who aren't familiar with the golden plates, there's actually a mountain called Hill Coomera, which is in the Palmyra, Batavia region of New York, upstate New York, that there's a giant statue of the angel Moroni. And that's supposed to be the mountain the hill where Joseph Smith dug up the famed plates that were the Book of Mormon that he had to translate from like an angelic script. So, but you know, bottom line is that Morgan, he was in a position to mix with the kind of folk that were serious about this Freemasonic business. I mean, to them, it was not a game. And I think that Morgan was looking – he had mercenary interests, you know. I don't know. Jay, what have you been working on lately you think might actually draw such ire? I mean, is there something specific lately, or do you think it's related to the other book that you've already published?
No, the next one's getting ready to be a whole lot worse. It's coming out at the end of this month, beginning of next. It's called Freemasonry's Filthy Rituals, and it's a very copious expose of that material, and I've tried to, you know, keep my editorial out of it so that the readers can, you know, make up their own minds what they think of it, and they know that it's coming. It's been announced for about a month now, so they know it's on its way, and I'm sure they are very, very upset and trying to get ready, you know, in the ways that they do, so...
In terms of this, we've got a long, sad history of people coming out, exposing Freemasonry, and disappearing. It happens all the time, apparently. And even anecdotally, more recently, what I've found frustrating when I was trying to, you know, I was up till like 4 o'clock in the morning sharing these links around on Facebook. You know, sometimes time is of the frickin' essence. And what was interesting to me is the amount of people who just wouldn't believe that this even happened to you. That was what was really quite frustrating to me. I mean. They say that
just pointing out that there's a lot of trolls on it. That's what they do. They have no other way to attack me. The Masonic fraternity has not come out and said, "Oh no, he's fibbing. He's lying. He's stretching the truth. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. He didn't work in that position." Nothing of the kind has been said. But you have all these Masons who are out trolling all the information I put out. Oh, this can't be. He's delusional. He's a charlatan. He's a this, that, the other, you know, just trying to make inflammatory statements and cause some sort of reaction. Well, I don't react to those people. I have nothing for them. I have no time for them. I have no respect for them. So,
Well, one comment that really got my goat, and I found actually quite amusing, is I'm a Freemason, and any insinuation that there's any kind of Freemason conspiracy is laughable. And I liken it to saying, I worked for KFC once, and they tell everybody the secret recipe on the first day on the job.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Freaking retarded?
Yeah, you know what you're dealing with. The example is that these people don't understand that there's agents and operatives and groups operating worldwide under the auspices of Freemasonry, but have other agendas. They've pledged obedience to other appendant orders. They just operate within the fraternity of Freemasonry as well, and most times they've infiltrated the leadership of Freemasonry. So that's why we're dealing with a situation where somebody could stand up so adamantly and say, that's not true, I've never seen, you know, I've been in Freemasonry for 30 years and blah, blah, blah. Not to mention what you're talking about, Vinny, on the entry level. I mean, people can just stay at an entry level thing and never learn anything about it. And then they could go out and say, I testify that I've been involved with this for decades and I have never seen anything. Well, big deal. It's because you've never rose up at any level where you might bump elbows with someone who was involved in that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I had a meeting with a number of whistleblowers last night. And one thing that we all were talking about is how do you actually wake people up? How do you wake people up? And I offered the postulation that somebody who doesn't want to get out of bed, the only way you're going to get them out of that bed is if a big frack off bucket of cold water gets dumped on them. Only then will they get their lazy ass out of bed. And I think that this is really the truth. Unless it happens to you, unless you actually take an active interest in what's really going on, you will not find out the truth.